All right. Welcome. This is Terminal CWO. I am your host, Danny. Today, I want to talk to you about the United States Military Academy and some of the things that they're experiencing over there. Once again, we're talking about integrity and how any compromise in this area greatly affects the future of our military. As usual, I have my pupper dog over here keeping me company in the corner. We're going to have a great show today. Stay tuned. So to recap, for those who haven't been following this issue, West Point had a massive cheating scandal that erupted across the campus. Last year, 73 cadets were accused of cheating, with 6 resigning from the school during the investigation. 4 cadets were acquitted by their peers, and then 2 cases were dropped due to insufficient evidence. Among those remaining 61 cadets found cheating, 51 were turned back a full calendar year to repeat their year of schooling. 2 were turned back 6 months, and then 8 overall were expelled. 5 were offered the chance to reenlist in the Army and then reapply at West Point. This scandal is bigger than what it appears to be on the surface. This isn't just a matter of some folks cheating and getting punished, we move on with life. We're talking about systemic problems within West Point. When I say that, a lot of people might say that sounds dramatic. Systemic, are we really talking about systemic? But I'm going to break it down for you. One of the perks I have of running this page, of being on this platform, is I talk to a lot of folks from various echelons. I have a unique insight into many of these problems. And I appreciate that. It's a valuable tool to have to be able to analyze and break these things down. I have quite a few U.S. Military Academy alumni that I talk to, along with folks who are intimately aware of what is currently going on within the institution. And I've been reading their messages. I've been getting a lot of messages, emails, information about this particular topic, along with other topics related to woke culture digging itself into the academy. And I'll be honest with you, what I have learned over the last several weeks about what's going on, I did not know. I'm surprised. A lot of this has been eye-opening as to how the institution is run and how serious these violations really are. So we have to understand the honor system up front. The honor system states a cadet will not lie, cheat, or steal, or tolerate those who do. Very clear, very simple. Day one, you're given this brief, and I believe you have to sign paperwork stating, yes, I adhere to this honor code. But you're held to this standard from day one. We're talking about what I would consider the most prestigious military academy to train and bring up our next generation of officers. And it's critical that we understand how important that is when we're talking about folks whose word and their values define our system, our culture within the military. Integrity, and I will hammer this home probably on every podcast you listen to, integrity is everything. Your word, the value behind it, what you say has to have meaning. You'll hear that a lot in the Army, especially if you're younger and you move through the system, but words have meaning, right? And we say that in reference to saying something specific and meaning what you say, but that also applies to the value and the weight that your words have. If somebody is lying, if their word can't be valued, if they can't be trusted with what they're saying, then when you get to a point where you have to rely on something that comes out of their mouth, when you have to take what they say at face value, you can't do that if they are dishonest. A person's character, their conduct, and how they live their life day in and day out is critical for those moments where you have to rely on the word and what they say on the spot. Before we jump into the violations and everything, let's talk about what the military academy is. The system itself is basically cadet run. The cadets are the chain of command. Now, the cadre have legal authority, you know, making sure that no one dies. And overall, you have your parents in the room, right? You have the adults in the room who manage the legal aspect of the institution, of the curriculum, that type of stuff. There are also honor representatives from the brigade level down. So there's a rep in each cadet company. There's 36 companies plus 12 battalions, 4 regiments, and a brigade. So the cadets own the process throughout this entire thing. When a cadet is reported or turns himself in, they go through an adjudication process that's run by the fellow cadets. We need to talk about the honor system and what that means. It's stressed that this is not a RAS system. You know, most of us are used to a system where we're encouraged to report on our peers. We're encouraged to, hey, if you see something, say something, and so-and-so did this. And we've all seen it, especially those of us who came up enlisted. We came through basic training, AIT, and we're encouraged by the cadre. The odd thing is the cadre actually despises that. They despise rats. So even though they encourage you to rat each other out, they really despise that because nobody likes a rat. I teach my daughter this now, by the way, and nobody likes a rat. But anyways, going back to this, the military academy is not about ratting out your peers. When you do get ratted out, you're going to have to answer for that. But generally speaking, that person who conducts that, you know, that narking process, that ratting process, the finger pointing, they get in trouble as well. Nobody likes that. It's a disgusting behavior to have, actually. So don't be a rat. The way it's broken down is essentially this. They understand you're going to break the rules. They understand things are going to happen because they understand people aren't perfect. They can tolerate you breaking a rule and owning it, fessing up to it, and taking your punishment. But what they can't tolerate is lying, cheating, or stealing. The one thing I grew up with was owning your mistakes. And that was the thing I got in trouble for from my dad. He would say, I understand you're going to mess up, but don't lie to me. It's the same thing I tell my kids now. Just don't lie to me. I can handle anything. I've even told this to my soldiers. I have to know that when you mess up and I confront you on it, or you come to me of your own volition, that you're going to be honest and that you're going to speak the truth about what took place, that you have integrity. And instilling that in our children is important, but it's even more important for our military academy graduates to have this same mindset and to own their mistakes. Lying, cheating, or stealing cannot be tolerated. The academy went through some changes over the last couple of decades where they went from a system of attrition to a system of development. Basically, you messed up, you got the boot, versus now where they're trying to develop you and they're trying to mold you into something else instead of just kicking you out the door when you mess up. Part of that process involves, over the last, I believe it was 2015, the academy introduced a system called the willful admissions process. And what this meant was that if a cadet admitted to breaking the honor code, they'd get punished, but they were assured that they would not be separated from the Corps of Cadets. That's a good idea in theory when it's cadet run and other cadets own the system, like I stated earlier, but that process started to transform and shift as well. There was less control and ownership among the cadets because there was more involvement and overhead hierarchy from the cadre and staff to run and control things. Because of this, the cadets started using this willful admissions process to loophole the system. they would basically turn themselves in, get ahead of the curve when they messed up, willfully knowing that they were covered under this clause, and they would game the system. That was not what it was intended for. It was intended to be a system that encouraged people to own their mistakes versus making mistakes, knowing that they could get out of them simply by admitting to them later on. That's one of the biggest fallouts from this. So the Academy announced, based on this cheating, that they were getting rid of their willful admissions process. To understand this in context, you have to understand how the Academy changed approximately 20 years ago. They used to haze the first year plebes for that entire year, and then they would graduate, or they would move on to the next level, and they were the ones doing the hazing. Well, they wanted to do away with the hazing based on the anti-hazing culture we have, and now it's kind of a 4 year sucks for everybody type of thing, but less. So when they did away with that stuff by getting rid of a lot of the traditional hazing things they would do to the plebes, a lot of the alumni said, oh, you know, the Corps is going to hell. They're getting weak. They're getting soft and all this other stuff. Well, there's a balance to that. But we need to look at that in context to what it is now. Because of that, a lot of these things that shaped and kept those cadets in line are a lot of the same things we see on the active duty side. We said when NCOs lost their ability to discipline, when, you know, we see it all the time on the meme pages, bring back hazing, make hazing great again. Well, there's certain things that were dangerous. There was a lack of oversight in a lot of regards. There was people legitimately getting hurt in ways that they shouldn't have been, but there's still a need for this type of cultural indoctrination to bring people into a system where they understand the rules, that they adhere by, that they adhere to them, and that they're shaped by the culture around them. Not having certain things in place, and I'm not saying that doing away with the first year hazing, because it went from a kind of where the first year sucked to all 4 years sucked, but not to the same extreme. I'm not saying that getting rid of the first year contributed to all the problems we see at the military academy. That's not the point I'm making here. What I am saying is that doing away with these things that shape and develop you and that let you know who the top dogs are versus, hey, you're not there yet. You don't get to say those things. You don't get to do those things. You don't have those same privileges. The younger classes start to come up and we see it throughout culture. We see it throughout everything we do. This sense of entitlement. When the same strenuous discipline and effort is not applied to what you do, you start to take things for granted in the culture you live in. Because of that, oftentimes, things like cutting corners, lack of attention to detail, lack of integrity, and really, that is a lack of integrity when you are cutting corners, those kinds of things start to become prevalent in the sphere that you're existing in. So we see less control from the cadets over time. We see less severity in the punishments because let's take a look at stealing as it pertains to certain cultures versus our culture. In our culture, there isn't much of a punishment for stealing. You can steal oftentimes and get yelled at by somebody or run out the store versus what happens if you go to the Middle East and steal in some of those places? You might get a hand cut off, right? Well, that's going to make you think real hard before you steal something. Do I really want to do this if I'm going to lose a hand when I get caught? So we look at these same types of things. They bleed into these systems and these institutions. And what you have is you have a culture that says, what's really going to happen to me? I'll just admit to it. I'll just admit to it and I get off that loophole and that gaming of the system. So these sort of things have started to shape things over time because you know you're not going to get kicked out. It's not that one and done system anymore. Before, like I said, the attrition process, the academy was kicking you out. Not so much anymore. A lot of people have looked at the last year and said that, going to distance learning and all the stuff we've had to do to accommodate with the COVID pandemic is responsible for this stuff. That's not it at all. Factually incorrect. And I can give you two reasons. One is the Academy has always had an honor system like this, where instructors would leave the room and go do whatever they were doing, and you would take your test. They were not proctored. Nobody was watching over your shoulder. It was on you as the cadet to have honor and integrity. And the second reason goes hand in hand. Honor and integrity are not a thing because somebody is holding a gun to your head. Honor and integrity are something that you desire to live by because it's the character that you have. And whether you're, you know, a million miles away from the institution or you're in the seat, you still have that same honor and integrity because that is what you have sworn to do. That is the oath you have taken. That is the vow you have taken. And regardless of the circumstances, it doesn't matter if there's $10 million sitting in front of you, you're not going to compromise your integrity for that. But here's a big point, and this ties in with everything else I've been talking about. The unlawful command influence, the breaking of orders and guidance from senior military officers and leaders, doing things under the table because they know nobody will point them out, that they won't get caught, that they won't be held accountable. This factors into all of this. What we are bleeding out of our institutions affects our military, and what is coming out of our military is affecting our institutions. It's a cyclical process. This lack of integrity feeds one to the other. When young cadets or young officers see their senior commanders or even their junior commanders doing things that willfully violate their integrity or go against an honor system, an honor code, it teaches them that they can do the same thing. Forget the unlawful command influence as it pertains to the vaccine. Let's just look at the company process, the troop process, and how that plays out when we're reporting our readiness trackers to battalion or brigade command teams. We have a need to put green across the board, right? Well, do you think your battalion commander believes for 1 second that you're actually green across the board? I've watched this play out for 20 years. I've watched the requirements and the need for training go up and up and up for irrelevant things that had nothing to do with making us more capable, more ready, and better at our jobs. What we saw was commanders who were having to pick and choose, and I'm talking about O3 captains, were having to pick and choose which items that they were going to lie on and which ones that they were actually going to tell the truth on. Now, everything came across as green, because if you didn't report green across the board, then you had to answer for it. And some, you know, that commander was saying, hey, captain, why aren't you getting this stuff done? All the other captains did it. So he willfully would lie on his trackers and would report on, would basically put his guys for the things that he felt were important and get those things up to task. And then the other stuff he would just lie about because he didn't have time. And he didn't have time because he was in a system that encouraged that he basically cut corners and pick and choose what he could and couldn't do. We facilitated that at the highest levels of the Pentagon. It's not just in the Army. It's in every branch. And we're still facilitating it. We're facilitating the need to lie, cut corners, and do everything we possibly can, but knowing that everything we possibly can do is not enough to fulfill the requirements that are put on our plate. So this bleeds back into the institution, and these cadets see this. And then, if you'll recall, I put out a story on the Academy not too long ago, several months ago, where we talked about the instructors and the cadre telling the students to not talk to the contractors because they had told them they had COVID, and the contractors were coming up into the barracks. They were performing work on the barracks without knowing that COVID positive personnel were in them. And they were upset when they found out, when one of the students told them, they didn't show up to work. But why should they? They're not getting paid extra to get sick. And if they get sick, not only is their health jeopardized, but they can't go to work and they lose money. And that was something the instructors and the cadre told the students to do, told the cadets to do. They told them to not tell them. Omission is the same as violating your integrity. And the students saw that. They had this system in place. They had this honor code, and they had their instructors telling them to break the system. Do you think this is a first one and done event? I don't. I don't believe for a second that a culture doesn't exist within the institution, that doesn't exist everywhere else in our society at this point, where we say, it's okay to lie about this because this isn't a big deal. We say, we use terms like white lies. We look at certain things with more importance than others. And some things are, hey, it's okay to lie about this because it's not a big deal. It's affecting our institution, clearly. The lack of integrity that we see from the highest levels bleeds down. It is no different than what we see in our parents and what our own kids see in us. If you saw your parents telling you to do something or telling you not to do something and they did it themselves, you didn't put any value in that. But if your role models, your parents, your mentors, whatever else, if they lived by the standards that they put out, those things would have more worth and would have more importance to you, and you wouldn't so readily dismiss them. You would try to follow them because you saw the importance of that. I see it every day with my own kids. I want to do my own thing, but I can't. If I tell my kids, don't listen to this stuff because I don't want you to hear this kind of influence, but I'm rocking it myself in my vehicle, they hear that, they see it, and they're like, Dad, like I just heard the F word. I just heard this. And I'm like, yeah. My bad. I didn't know that was on there. I didn't know it was in there. And they see that. And they say, well, you're telling me not to listen to this stuff, but you've got a role in too. I lose credibility. And they don't see it as important. Oh, it's not a big deal. They're not dumb. So why would you think that anybody else at any other level would be dumb? These guys are coming up to be officers, guys and girls. They're growing up in a system that we're trying to teach honor and integrity. And there's less of it in our civilization, in our culture, in our nation now than ever. And we have to try to shape all walks of life that often don't come from, for lack of a better term, a morally righteous background. And we have to try to teach them what ethics and morals are when they might not have ever had any. It's a very strong possibility. And how can we teach those things if our own leaders are breaking and violating the rules? We can't. They see it and they know it's not real. They know all they have to do is game the system. It doesn't mean anything to them. When I look at this, I get upset because I say, why shouldn't they be held to this high standard? But then I also ask myself, why should they be held to this high standard? If our own leaders at the highest levels will not hold themselves to a standard of honor and integrity that they are prescribing to the rest of the force, then why should our future officers do the same? I'm not making excuses for them. I personally want more done to them, but I couldn't in all good conscience ask for it either, because it wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be just. It wouldn't be right based on what we are currently seeing within the force. So the other issue we see, this transformational process of fairness and justice and what's important to the culture that these cadets live in, is the woke culture that is quickly enveloping the military academy. There's a very famous quote. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It goes like this: hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men, and weak men create hard times. I'll let you process that for a second. At the military academy, and I had this conversation with an individual the other day who's intimately familiar with the goings-on at the Academy. But his contention was that the Academy is in the good times create weak men. And I can't disagree with him, because I believe that we're in the good times create weak men throughout our entire culture. We have become complacent. We have allowed a system to grow up around us that has insulated us to the point where we don't know hardship at all. And the natural tendency of a human being is to struggle, to improve, to make their situation better, to make something out of nothing. It is what man has always done. They have striven to achieve, to accomplish. And what do you strive to achieve and accomplish when everything is right in front of you as is? Home, food, entertainment, whatever it may be, it's all here. We have to struggle. We have to create. Therefore, you get the need for this revolt against our institutional processes. And I'm not talking about a need to stay current in our moral failures, because obviously there are things that need to change within our nation. But we've seen a lot of things change for the worse over several decades. And we've seen a lot of things change for the better over several decades. The moral underpinnings of our society have gone backwards. That need to strive and to make better and to create is still there within every single person. And if there's nothing to improve, oftentimes they'll unimprove something simply because they need to change and create and grow a process. We've seen it all throughout our society. And going back to that idea that good times create weak men, and then quickly approaching the time of weak men creating hard times. We are going to move into that very quickly. The Academy, and this was his contention as well, the Academy right now has put an emphasis on academia versus the military component being at the forefront. And the reason we teach academia is to make better officers, make smarter officers, but ultimately we're training them to be military leaders, to be tacticians, to be strategically minded, and to lead our military in defense of our Constitution and our nation. There are senior military officers who haven't been on the line in decades. And then you have company grade officers who have attended many of the rabidly leftist institutions within our nation that are bringing that same ideology back into the military academy that is feeding our officers. There is often a lack of integrity within those environments. Why? Because the entire mindset of the progressive, leftist, far left agenda is one based on feelings and emotion and not on facts. Because of that, that feeds into this institution, and it feeds into the integrity and the moral compass of the cadets that are currently being taught there, and then those who come up and join our military, which ultimately, like I talked about, that cyclical process, senior leaders feed back down into the juniors and into the cadets, which feed back up into the hierarchies of our military. We are seeing that play out in the lack of integrity, the lying, the cheating, the stealing. It is bleeding into every facet of our military. This is what's going on at the military academy. This is what's going on throughout our military as a whole. And it's ultimately what's going on in our culture, because our military is a mirror of our culture. I believe personally that the most alarming part of this cheating scandal at the Academy is that it took place over a large group chat. It wasn't done in the darkness by onesies and twosies. It wasn't me knowing that I was breaking the rules, but hiding and thinking I could get away with it. It was a cultural belief within a 100-person group that believed that they could cheat and that it was okay to do it together. And what kind of mindset has to exist for that many people to come together in violation of what we hold to be morally and ethically sound and say, we're going to do this anyways, because this is easier. This is better. That is the most alarming part to me. If a few people cheated, or hell, if the entire academy cheated, but they somehow did it individually, where they were breaking the system, breaking the rules alone and not in conjunction with one another, I would still be less alarmed than I am by the fact that so many people came together, and yet there was nobody that came out from that and said, hey guys, let's not do this. This ain't cool. But the fact that it went on for so long, and that so many people were involved, that's startling to me. And yet it goes back to an argument that many people have had for a long time now. Is the Academy worth the money? Is it any better than ROTC or OCS? I don't know. I used to say it wasn't. I wish it was. I like to think that tradition matters, that our values and the things that make us who we are as people and as a culture and as a tribe, I like to believe that some of those things are important. But I can't advocate for the kind of mindset that tolerates lying at the cadre level. And that's from the folks who told the students not to talk about COVID positive personnel in the barracks to the contractors whose health was on the line in this case. And then the students who came together in this mass number. And you know, the alumni see this. You're not going to hear from them. They're not going to talk about it publicly. They're going to talk about it in their groups. And I've seen some of those conversations. I've seen some of the things that come out from those conversations and what they're talking about. There is a large element of alumni and figures that are attached to the institution, to the academy, that are pissed about everything. They don't like where it's going with its curriculum. The lack of the military being at the forefront of its training and its purpose. And then what has happened to the overall curriculum and the four-year degree, what it was. And obviously you're going to have some of those folks who are like, oh, back in my day, and I'm not even talking about them. I'm talking about the ones who honestly see the value and the purpose in what these students, what these cadets are learning and what it is now. It's not new. It's just exposed. And it directly affects, like I said, what's going on at the highest levels of our government and our military. There is a lack of moral courage. There are folks who would rather stay silent than speak out because they don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be ridiculed in society. It will affect everything. How many people do you know? We see it all the time in the jokes. We see it in the comments on the memes who say, oh, you know, so much for retention, so much for retention. Nobody with any kind of moral and ethical fiber is going to want to stay in this type of environment where they have to do what somebody tells them when it's morally and ethically not right, when they're not doing it themselves. It's hypocritical, and they don't want to be a part of that. And no amount of defense of nation is going to make that happen. It affects everything when our leaders, when those who are in positions of authority do not practice what they preach and they don't have integrity. That is why, and I know I'm beating a drum here, but I go back to that idea again, this unlawful command influence, this telling troops to do one thing when it has been directly ordered from the Department of Defense to not do what they're doing, to not force the vaccine on people. Yet they're doing it anyways, under the table, and they're lying about it. We're going to have a lot more discussion on that later on. I have talked for far too long about this subject. I wanted to speak specifically about the military academy. I wanted to talk about what is going on, what the other elements that are affecting all of this really are, and bring this to the forefront of everybody's mind and tie this in with everything else that's going on, because you have to be thinking about it. You have to know about it. It affects our way of life more than just a cheating scandal. Like I said, on the face of it, they cheated. They got together. They broke the rules. They cheated on some tests. and they got punished for it. But it is so much more than what we see on the surface. All right, let me wrap it up with that. I'll get back to you guys soon. I want to talk about a bunch of other stuff that's going on. I appreciate you listening today. Hopefully, I got the audio cleaned up to a point where it was bearable. Apologize for the voice filters and the learning process. Man, it has been rough learning how to edit and record this stuff and get the tools necessary. And I didn't know anything about anything, but I'm learning and I've got some great people helping me. So if you're helping me, if you've given me tools and tips and whatever else, I appreciate it. You guys rock. Have a good day. Be safe. Spend some time with your families. I'll talk to you guys later. I'm out.